Strome. Miss crossing with Chychrun through center. Send in Wilson on the flank. Cross ice. Ovechkin fires. Score! The chasing days are done! Alex Ovechkin is the greatest goal scorer in the history of the NHL.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
And there's the buzzer. It's an even dozen for Gino Auriemma and Connecticut. The final page in the Book of Beckers is title number 12 for UConn.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Knipple has it, throws to Proctor, heaves up a three, no good. Houston from behind, 14 down to the national championship game. It's Houston and Florida in San Antonio on Monday night.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan. Hello, hello, hello. Happy Monday.
What is happening?
Just a rainy little Monday morning.
Rainy little Monday morning. Saturday was nice, though.
Saturday was.
Friday was delightful.
Oh, yeah.
Friday and Saturday filled my cup up, baby.
I was telling the wife we were driving around on Sunday, and we didn't really go anywhere for very long, but we got in our car and driving. I'm like, God, when you go from 70 to then just straight dumping, there's not much worse of a buzzkill than that.
Right when you get to thinking, hey, could this be it? Are we here? Are we turning a corner? No, that's the second fake spring of the year. And I'm sure we'll get another one like next weekend, and then it'll go back to 42 degrees and rain.
Mm-hmm.
But God, 48 hours of sunshine right now feels delightful.
Well, I beg to differ with you.
Ooh.
I think it is breaking through.
It's breaking through. It's happening.
It is.
Oh, buddy. Oh, yeah. Just going to start rubbing my nipples over here. Don't mind me. Don't mind me. Got my big master's pool emails this morning, ready to fill out my spreadsheets.
Don't.
My pimento cheese shows up on Wednesday.
Don't ever accuse me of not knowing my co-host. It's a master's Monday.
God, I'm so excited. Could you imagine if you were, because practice rounds start today, they're not allowing patrons in. Because the weather's going to be really bad, I guess. Like, showers all day, it's going to rain. So they basically were like, sorry. Imagine having a ticket to the practice round today.
And you couldn't get in?
You made travel plans to get to Augusta, Georgia. Now, they're good about, like, if you get rained out, they'll give you a ticket for a practice round the next year. But then you got to travel back to Augusta. What if I live in Sacramento or Seattle or Portland? I got to fly back out there next. Now I'm just hanging out in Augusta. Anybody who's ever been to that town can tell you it's an absolute asshole. There's nothing to do there.
Mm.
There's a Hooters, but they're going bankrupt, so yeah. I don't even know if that's still around. What a bummer start to the week, but man, I can't wait.
Does this remind anybody like the beginning of a church service, by the way?
A little bit, definitely.
It's playing in the background as everybody's sitting down.
Or a wedding service.
Yeah.
I was going to fight. We didn't end up having an actual wedding. We got married during COVID. But I was going to advocate for this to be played.
As the buildup
during
to the wedding?
Seating process. Because it's just some random piano music. Nobody knows.
It sounds like a wedding like if you're just, or church service.
Hey,
yeah.
It's going to begin in 30 minutes. Please find your seats. Event. You know, the ceremony's right around the corner. This is what you got to play.
Now, I gotta ask you this.
Did you watch the drive chip and putt finals yesterday?
Sure didn't.
You locked into that yesterday morning?
Nope, didn't watch second. Didn't know it existed.
No. You didn't watch the woman's amateur?
Nope.
No, that was on Saturday.
Had no idea.
No. Asterisk Tally. What a hell of a name.
Mm. All right.
Who names their kid Asterisk?
Is there... are there years where this is not exciting?
No. There's years where the tournament isn't exciting. At the aftermath of it.
As it's going,
but in the
lead-in,
no. There's never a year where
there's
it's not
There's never
exciting.
A down year where you're like the way we did with the Super Bowl or the way we do maybe with an NBA Finals.
No, because you don't know who the matchup's going to be yet. Yeah. Usually that's matchup dependent. You're not excited about the teams.
Now, you got nearly 100 players there.
If you tell me Danny Willett's in the lead going into Sunday, then I'll tell you not very excited for Sunday at the Masters.
Danny Willett's great.
Yeah.
100 players are not realistically in the running to win.
No, I understand that.
A lot of them are former champions. One of them just got out of prison. So, you know, that happened.
Well,
El Pato is back, baby.
What do they do if he's in the running on Sunday? How awkward is that?
It's
going to
be a little uncomfortable. Little uncomfortable.
Yeah. Hello, friends. Hello. My Houston Cougars have won the national championship, and I'm play-by-playing a domestic abuser.
El Pato beat the crap out of his wife, and now he's allowed to play Augusta again because that's the way that we roll.
Well, you know, he's a man. He's allowed to be there and play. And
past champions, man. Welcome back anytime you want.
We know the Masters doesn't really respect women the way that they probably should.
Hey. Condoleezza Rice is a member now, okay?
Oh, yeah,
they are very woke. They are with the times. They are hip, all right?
I believe Annika's in the scene. A member.
Oh, Annika.
Well, they got two?
Only had to play on a PGA Pro-AM to
only
get
had
there,
to be
huh?
One of the greatest female golfers of all time just to get a membership.
I think Annika's a member.
Look at that. Very 2025 of them. Way to go, Augusta National. We're proud of you.
So,
no, there's never a year where it's not exciting going in. But so the matchup on Sunday could be not exciting.
All right, give me this then. Give me the top three biggest things for you going into Augusta.
Ooh.
When this tees off Thursday. This will tee off before we're on the air.
This will.
So give me your...
I'm going to be watching on my phone as I roll into the studio.
It's very
on my Masters app.
It's not safe.
That's all right. I'll be fine.
Top three biggest things... Andy Dirt Johnson at the Masters this week is?
The biggest storylines for me.
The three biggest storylines for you are what?
Number one, until he wins it, will always be Rory McIlroy.
Yes.
Finishing the career Grand Slam. He has been painstakingly close to winning another major.
Sounds like Swag is in agreement with you on a top three.
For it's this just, year, because he's won twice already.
He's already
this
won
year
twice.
On iconic
horns
course.
Down.
He had the Pinehurst missed putts last year that would have won him a U.S. Open. He had the U.S. Open at L.A. Country Club or Wyndham Clark won. He's
let,
been that close.
I think he's let all the PGA, he's not on the advisory board. He's let all the politics, all the piff, all the live crap. I think he's refocused on golf.
And I don't even think it matters what he's... I just think Rory McIlroy, until he wins one, is the biggest story. I think he's one of the biggest names, if not the biggest name in golf right now. He hasn't won a major in over a decade. And this would be number five in the career Grand Slam, something that doesn't happen very often. Mm. So that's number one. I think Scottie Scheffler potentially winning a third green jacket has to be number two. With the way that he's played in previous Masters, he won it last year in a runaway freight train.
Have we had a back? When was the last back-to-back champion?
That's a great question.
The Masters?
That is a. I don't know the answer to that.
El Tigre? I don't think Tiger won two in a row, did he?
I think he did at one point, didn't he?
He did.
Hold on.
Well, how many did he win? He won four? Four of them things?
I believe he's got four of them things. We have not had a back.
Do you have to go back to Faldo?
Tiger Woods, 01 and 02, was the last one to do it. So it's been 24 years since somebody's done that.
Just call me Golf Sprague.
You're Golf Sprague. So we call you. We,
give
you
me
know.
A golf show on the weekend.
Come join me.
Give me a golf podcast.
Call you Flopshot Sprague. That's what they call you. You're welcome on the Grip City Pod anytime you want. So it's been a long time since we've had back-to-back winners. A third storyline?
That's a pretty big one, though. Back-to-back for the first time
to go back-to-back, and then the collection of guys who have won three. I mean, there are only 8 guys who have ever won three.
I would classify, can I throw a third one at you just to, you know, kind of see if I'm buzzing the right direction here?
What storyline's sticking out to you going into the week's Flop Shot Sprague?
Oh, yeah, those guys. This is the annual, the Lip Guys, they exist.
They still play golf. They're still there.
John Rahm.
Hey.
You're a guy.
Long, you died 2 years ago, man.
DeChambeau.
Kepka. The Doucher.
Yep. Yeah.
Sergio.
What? I'll give you that. I'll take that, and I'll, I think the Doucher. I think the Doucher and the rise of from the ashes, like a phoenix that he has had in his career, from being a pariah in a stupid Peaky Blinders hat that nobody liked.
Yeah.
To becoming... the people's golfer, if you will.
Well, this is what I was going to say.
Winning a third major and winning a Masters would be a big deal.
I didn't want to interrupt you there, but Rory, you're probably right on. I actually think because of YouTube and the way that golf is being consumed by people now, I do think he's in the running to say he might be the most popular golfer. Sans Tiger, obviously.
Sans Tiger, because he'll always hold that label until he dies.
But, like, the Doucher does a ton of YouTube.
He's beloved, man.
And that's a big community.
Yeah.
And then, like, when he comes back to PGA major events or PGA-adjacent major events, he seems to be pretty well supported now.
He's beloved now. It's one of the crazier storyline turns in a career we've ever seen in professional sports.
What's the last great athlete to go from being almost universally hated to, no, that's my guy? Who's that last great athlete?
I think it's the late, great George Foreman, who we just recently...
You think we're going back that far?
I can't think of another one in modern times that we hated.
He was the villain because he came up against Ali. He didn't talk much. He was thought to be pretty grouse and intimidating. And
I felt like even though
get the F away from me
wasn't his playing career, I felt like A-Rod kind of swung from heel hated in baseball to then being commentated. It was like, whoa, he's good.
Yeah.
And I know he's kind of maybe gone back and forth with people on that topic, but
right. I don't know if he's universally beloved.
I don't know if he's beloved.
And I'm not saying that there are obviously people who don't like Bryson. You know,
the way it swung, the pendulum is the other side of like...
He was the laughingstock of the PGA Tour.
He's really well supported.
Yes, and nobody wanted to see him win a major, and he was hitting balls 400 miles, and it was just him and the Brooks feud. Everybody was on Brooks' side of that.
I think people wanted him to beat Xander, to be honest with you, to win his second major.
I think they did, too. Man. Speaking of the odds, because I've already looked at him for this week, I always put a bet on Rory to win, and I will until he wins the Masters. If he doesn't, I'm okay losing that money.
Spoiler for Wednesday's show.
Bryson's odds on this tournament, not shabby. Like, if you're looking for people who to place bets on, Bryson, I think, is somewhere in the plus 2,000 range going into the week.
What's the best finish he's had at Augusta?
He's come close. I think he finished second to...
Who, Bryson?
Yeah.
He's had a couple of
top
fives.
Boy, you guys are golf people, and I'm just throwing things that have no answers.
Well, I just gave it to you. I think he finished second. He holed out on the 18th hole.
Yeah.
I believe that was last year.
So he finished second to Scotty last year. So he won a major, lost it at the playoff against Xander, if I'm not mistaken, or the 18th, and then finished second at Augusta?
I believe so. He was...
Dude, that's in the running for easily the best season.
He ended up... tied for sixth last year. Oh, tied for sixth. But I remember him holing out on the 18th hole in an incredible
having
highlight.
A chance.
Because then he did it as well in the PGA Championship, and I think he holed out in the U.S. Open that he ended up winning. He had like a random stretch of holing out for eagle in big-time majors last year.
All right.
So I'm going to give you Bryson. Those are my three biggest storylines. Can Rory break through and win one? Scotty winning a third and just continuing his run of dominance, and Bryson winning a third major and adding to the collection of major championships.
Swag, if you did a top three, would your top three be the exact same, or do you have something that's on your radar that maybe people don't pay attention to?
No, I think those, the livers. The other one would be, can a Justin Thomas, can a Jordan Spieth, maybe some guys that have had success and have fallen off and are searching for them for their games.
Thomas is all over the place. Some weeks he's like in the running to win, and then the next week
he'll
he's not
do
making
it
a cut.
In the same round. He'll shoot 81 and then come back and shoot 62 in the same tournament.
Doesn't make any sense.
Kind of a weird
doesn't
golfer.
Make any sense.
He's all over the map.
At least he got one.
He got one. He got two.
Well, he got two. That's right.
He won
right.
two PGA championships.
I don't know why, but I just cannot connect two with him. I remember the one.
It's because of what he won. He won the PGA.
He won the PGA.
I mean, you won it, but didn't you win it? It's like the Dodgers COVID title.
Say,
you know,
we need
it's like
another major, don't we?
He technically wanted the World Series, but didn't you win the World Series?
There's another trophy in that building. There's eight trophies in that building.
Eight and a quarter. Eight and a quarter. You know, I think they sawed one down.
Who's in first place? Hey, raise your hand if your team's won a game.
Hey! Welcome to the win column, baby.
We lost Saturday.
Welcome to the win column. How'd yesterday go? I meant to look that up.
Rained out yesterday.
Really bad in Georgia.
You got one.
We got one.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome to the club.
And then we lost and our offense sucked again. It was great.
Good morning, Mariner fans. Good morning, Mariner fans.
Why?
This is the year! This is the year!
Did they get swept?
We signed Donovan Solano!
It was a lost
was
weekend.
That a broom?
That was, I'm just going to get my broom out. I should have brought one in. That was a missed
prop. Honey, I shrunk the kids.
Yeah.
Rick Moranis coming in, sweeping up his kids.
Need that little hand broom.
Missed prop idea, but there might be one in the kitchen. Maybe I'll go find one and just kind of hold it up the entire show.
We'll get to that later.
This is the year!
Tough to rebound from an old sweeping. And I would know. My team got swept in back-to-back series. Start the season.
Not easy. 3-7 right out of the gate. Attaboy.
Man. Well, it's two wins better than my team, so what am I going to say?
How's the standings look down there, Swigard? How's the weather down there in third place?
Fine.
We had a random... I was checking Twitter yesterday for something. I was trying to find an account of somebody to get on the show. And I saw our mentions, which I don't check as often as I used to.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but there's a Mariner fan out there talking crap about, I can't tell whose team he's talking about, but he's like, your team sucked. And I'm like, Mariner fan of all fans to be in our mentions about whose team sucked.
Yeah, you're the only team in history of baseball to never make a World Series. I don't really know if you could throw stones at anybody.
I didn't respond, but I just kind of chuckled. Like, where does that come from? Where does that kind of confidence come from?
Just unsolicited, completely.
Mom and
out
Dad
of
really just told just you were the most amazing little
anger.
Boy.
It's just pure stupidity, is
anger
what it is.
And resentment.
You have nothing to be proud of in the history of your franchise. But you know, go ahead.
95, baby.
95,
class of 95.
We had Ichiro. Yep. You got Ichiro. There you go. Well done.
Play that cut. Griffey scores!
He's going to score! Junior rounds third! That's all you got, man. It's a first round series.
Well, happy Monday, everybody.
Happy Monday.
It's good to be in here. We have not
been
rained out.
Let's go. We're still here.
It'd be funny if the Masters was rained out.
I actually already looked at the forecast. Friday's the only day.
Clear up.
Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday supposed to be beautiful. Showers a little bit on Friday. Yeah. Today's just, I guess there's a nasty storm rolling through. Mm. For the most part, the rest of the week should be beautiful.
Well, we've got a national championship game set. We've got some tippings of the cap. We got the Trailblazers who are just deciding to punt on being worse.
Oh, now they tank.
Well,
kind of.
They tried and couldn't
even
do that.
They actually tried
right.
yesterday, they couldn't out-tank the Spurs. It was hilarious.
You see who didn't play in the final, 4 minutes of the Chicago game on Friday night? And then fans were upset about that?
They won Friday against Atlanta.
Yes.
Or no, they won, was it Thursday night? I'm confused
Thursday
now.
They beat Atlanta.
Friday they lost to Chicago. Yeah. And then yesterday
they beat the Spurs.
They played nobody except Shaden, and then they
still won.
Still won.
The
they were
game.
Like 15 points on that.
Right out of the gate.
Because Chris Murray needed to have a day.
He's got to go off. That's the way we roll, baby. That's the way we roll.
Why insert your G League guys?
I love how we went from making fun of other teams who were not ethically tanking to then seeing what we did against Chicago on Friday and being like, I mean, come on, guys. This is what you got to do.
I mean, isn't this what you guys want? I've been screaming on the radio for
this. I thought 2 weeks ago this was unacceptable and a slap in the face of the basketball gods.
You
now
know
we're
those,
just tempting fate.
Have you seen those weird flexible... I don't know if they're a gay duo or brothers, but they go to NBA games at halftime and they handstand on each other's asses.
Oh yes.
Yeah, I've
They've
seen
been
those
doing
guys
that for
gold.
Quite a time.
The gold
is that
guys?
A relationship or are they brothers? Like what's is
I
that? We know that deal.
I don't know.
Anyways, these gay or not gay, but these gold painted. Sorry, I was asking if they were in a relationship.
Yeah.
These gold painted duo. They're super flexible and they balance one hand on each other.
Yeah, they stand up on things.
That there is a certain portion of Blazer fan that's them. Like when they win, it's like, gosh, this is so good for the future. They're winning with these. And then when they tank in a game and it's clear that they're trying to lose, it's like, isn't this what we wanted? No, it's just like they're playing all sides of this.
Convince yourself. You're getting some return on your
investment.
They're
never wrong.
Never Whether wrong. I'm going to switch over to this lane now. Oh, I'm going to go back over to this lane now. Let's go to the left lane. Back to the right lane.
Yeah. It's somebody. We'll get to the Blazers. Yeah. But yeah, we're over it. Let's start this. We've got Carter Baines has been covering the NCAA tournament for 24/7. He's going to join us for the ticker. So what we're going to do is we're going to start in the NCAA tournament, pause, get back into the NCAA tournament. Because it was a very interesting Final Four, to say the least. We had one really good game and another weird, crazy, all-time ending game. So we'll start there. Dirt and Spray, good to be with you on the Fan. All right, welcome back in. 6:22. I kind of feel bad for Florida. They won. They're in the national championship game, and I just feel like 88% of all of the conversation today in the country is going to be Duke's epic collapse.
Because the eyes of the tournament were on Duke. They were the most interesting team. They have the most well-known player. They have the guy who was the player of the year and is going to be the number one overall pick in the draft and is the great white hope of American basketball. So they were going to get whether they won the game and went into the final, all we would be talking about is Duke. And then especially with the way that they lost that game, all we're going to talk about is Duke.
I mean, it's just crazy. I still, today, I have no idea how they lost that game. It didn't feel real watching in real time. I was watching this game, and eventually, I think it was around the 8 or 9 minute mark. They were up 14, and I remember I got up and I'm like, I'm gonna go do the dishes. I had it on in the big screen, so I'm watching.
Yeah, I had it on in the background because I'm like, this game's over,
and I'm seeing them chisel away, but not to the point where I'm like captivated. I'm like, look at it. They're going to make it somewhat respectable.
Houston's offense is like a rock fight, dude. There's no way they make up a 14-point deficit in 9 minutes.
No way.
Flag hit that three with 3 minutes to go.
I thought that iced it. I was like, there it is.
All right.
They needed it.
They were flirting a little bit. They had gone a little cold. He hits an open corner three, and you thought the game is over, and it was not.
No.
Even after all of that, They led 67-61 with 39 seconds to go. Yeah. They had a 6-point lead with 39 seconds, and they lost the game by three.
That score, by the way, he hit that flag, or that three, flag did. And it was 64-55 with 3:03 left. Not that 9 points is insurmountable.
It should be for Houston's offense.
But in college basketball, it is like old school NBA. Yeah. It feels insurmountable. Yeah. In the NBA, it's like 9, it's nothing with 3 minutes.
You blink your eyes and all of a sudden you're losing.
What's crazy is I'm going through this because I wanted to make sure I had this. Because I talked about this yesterday on my gambling show with Ortner. I think that was Duke's only made field goal in the final 9 minutes.
It was ugly in the final 9 minutes.
I'm trying to double check this, but I'm pretty sure I have that.
They had
right.
a stretch. It was almost 7 minutes, I think, before he hit.
Yeah, 10:31.
Yeah,
he made the last two field goals for his team. I just noted the one that he made at the 3 minute mark.
Right.
The other one was with 10:31 left. He made a 2-point jump shot, and that made it 58-45. And that was around the time I'm like, I'm going to go do dishes. This feels over.
Houston can't score. This game's over.
Two field goals in the final 10:30 of the game. Offense.
I thought it was the epitome of, and you see this a lot, not just in basketball, but other sports. This happens all the time in football, too, where you go into a mode of you're no longer running your offense. You're no longer playing the way that you've played the entire game.
You're just killing clock.
You're just kind of getting tight. You're killing clock, and you're like, we got a 13-point lead. All of a sudden, you're standing, you're dribbling the ball more. There's less player movement, and then you're getting 4 shots late in the shot clock, and you're not getting good, clean looks. And if you were just running your offense and saying, whether we score with 22 seconds left on the shot clock or 8 seconds left on the shot clock, it doesn't matter. Let's keep building the lead and running our offense. They got incredibly tight, and it led to one of the funniest final tie shot attempts that I've ever seen. That Proctor shot that he airmailed the entire backboard. He went full Carlton. Like, look, that's not an easy shot.
Dude, he threw it
You're catching it. You're turning it around.
So
I don't want to make it sound easy, but that was a hilarious final shot.
Yeah, but if I put all three
after
of
he
this,
missed the free throw, too, on top of it, you're like, dude, you just chucked it over the backboard.
There was one part of me that's like, for sure what you're saying, none of us make that shot.
None of us do.
But I've been in a lot of open gyms where I've just turned and shot a shot jokingly and been like, it clanked off. It just barely missed.
Your last shot, he
knew
he was out near
Nothing.
Midcourt, and his only thought was, don't leave it short.
Get
I got to get it to the rim.
Well, what's their big's name? Mala.
Proctor played a horrible game.
Malawatch. Malawatch just untucks his jersey before the ball's even landed. He's just like, that's over.
He's
not going
over
that.
Everything. That didn't even hit the shot clock, dude.
He also... So I'll just say this now. I somehow got into a back and forth a little bit on Blue Sky with a Blazer fan about tanking, not tanking, right? And
healthy thing to do.
Well, they were a little dishonest. They were like, Ant didn't do anything in their 10 out of 11 that they won. And I went back and looked, and I'm like, he was their leading scorer for half those games.
Yeah. What are we talking about?
But okay, let's be intellectually dishonest.
I digress.
And that person responded and said, well, you want the guy who just choked in the final game the way the 2016 Warriors did. And I was just like,
no.
Buddy, he choked.
He missed the
shot.
Final shot. He was the reason they had a 15-point
lead. He was their only offense.
He was the best player on the floor.
Proctor was horrible.
He was the best player on the whole court of both teams.
Not even close.
Houston
the foul call was egregious, by the way, not to defend Duke, but that box-out call was just awful.
I thought the officiating in both games was as suspect as...
As terrible as it could be.
It makes the sport unwatchable at times. It genuinely does.
Let's go back to the monitor. It's like, oh, my God.
Well,
let's not do this.
You had that, I think it was Houck had a clean block for Florida down the stretch, and they called it a foul that gave Auburn a couple of free throws and a chance to stay in it.
Well, but my point was, like, how do you watch that game and your takeaway is Cooper Flagg, big choke artist?
You're an idiot.
Not
That's how.
Tyrese Proctor.
You're an idiot.
Couldn't make a free throw.
He was horrible.
He had a 1-1 that would have iced the game.
Yeah. And he missed the front end.
Missed it. Then Houston's 62% free throw shooter.
Made them both.
Made both to give them the lead.
How about the kid inbounding the ball? Why don't we have somebody else inbound the ball? I mean, to look at that game and say Cooper Flagg was the problem, you literally don't have a brain. You don't have any brain cells.
You don't have Cooper Flagg, you lose by 20 and it's not close.
This is one of those things of like, I wish some people were just banned from talking and debating sports. If you're that level of stupid, you should just be eliminated
just
from the
timeout.
Dialogue.
This should be a timeout.
Your account should be banned. This is why I should buy a social media platform. If I see that argument made, you're like, your account's suspended. 6 months, dude. Talk to me in October.
Easy,
Elmo.
We'll
see if you've woken up a little bit, okay? Because that's just a ridiculously dumb take. He left the final shot a little bit short. And the foul call was, I thought he did too. When he put it up, I thought it was going in. He was the best player on the floor the entire tournament. He is the best player in the country the entire tournament. And part of me is happy for Kelvin Sampson. He seems like a genuinely good dude. I'd love to see him win a national championship. Having to watch Houston again is going to be painful. Can we all acknowledge that? They suck. Like, they don't suck, but they suck to watch. That's not entertaining in any way, shape, or form.
Pleasing style
at all.
Of
this
basketball.
Is Virginia. It's watching Virginia win a national championship.
It's effective.
It works, and I'll give it to them. But for the love of God, man, I was so excited to not have to watch them again.
As somebody who coached a basketball team that had like one decent dribbler on the entire roster,
coaching
Houston. Like Houston's approach.
Let's
to
get
be
scrappy.
Honest with you.
Let's force turnovers.
How did you win? We scored 14 and they scored 11. Yeah,
damn
defense,
right.
Baby.
Locked down on the defensive end of the floor.
Slap
dude,
the
they
floor.
Are. They are a horrible watch.
Well, let's carry this over because there's more Duke stuff I want to get to. We got audio too from Cooper and John Shire. I want to get to that. The play-by-play of Houston, like the ending of that game. So we'll get to that. Some more tournament talk next on The Fan. All right, poll question is up. Are you still shocked that Houston came back and won versus Duke? It's Monday. Yes or no at Dirt and Sprague?
Yeah,
it's one of the biggest collapses I've ever seen in my life. It really is.
It's one thing, too, to like...
You're up 7 with a minute 14. That should be over.
Yeah, you're up 6 with 30 seconds to go, and you can't win the game. It's unbelievable.
I watched a similar event early in the season with the Pilots in Eugene.
I don't want to... We have a lot to get. We got audio here, but... There's no bigger tell of how big that collapse was than when Kelvin Sampson literally fell to his knees because his player committed a technical foul by swiping at the ball. Yeah. Everybody in America was like, that's going to do
that's
it.
Game.
Technical and possession.
That's game.
And Kelvin just falls to his knees like, there
God
it is. We're done.
Kidding me.
And his reaction in the game when the game ended of just... shaking Shire's hand. He looked like a guy's like, did we just really win? This really just happened?
They had 58 points with 10:31 left. We went over at only two field. They were outscored 25-9 in the final 10 minutes of the game.
Oh my God.
This was the one that was the icing on the cake for me. They are the only team to have an NCAA tournament game with a higher field goal percentage, more free throw attempts, more assists, fewer turnovers, and more steals than their opponent, yet lose. To this point, dating back to 1986, since steals became an official stat, teams with those five had been 335-0 in tournament games. 335-0. They are the first one in the history of the NCAA tournament.
Let's take a listen of what it sounded like on Westwood One, the final call of Houston's epic comeback.
Knipple has it, throws to Proctor, heaves up a three, no good! Houston from behind! 14 down to the national championship game. And for the first time since 1984, Houston will play for a men's basketball national championship. It's Houston and Florida in San Antonio on Monday night.
And here is John Shire, Duke's head coach, in the post game on letting that game slip away.
I mean, it's been a special ride that ended in a heartbreaking way. And frankly, the game, we did what we wanted to do. You know, I thought our guys did it, followed the game plan, controlled the game. We had the lead for 35 minutes. We're winning by 6 with a minute 15 to go. And they made plays, and you got to give them a ton of credit. We didn't make those plays, and you go from some of the most special moments in the tournament to the most heartbreaking loss.
And Cooper Flagg also in the postgame talked about the ending of this ball game.
Just communication. I mean, I think me and Sion messed up a switch. Got to get the ball in bounds. You know, find whatever we had to do. Just find a way to get the ball in bounds. I think that was a big messed up communication play between me and Sion that led to a big three.
And now Cooper Flagg's era at Duke is over. He will go be the number one pick in the NBA draft. And Duke did not reach the national championship game in a year where we all kind of thought, that's the best team. They scored 90 points per game in the tournament.
They steamrolled everybody.
67. Houston dragged them down to their style of play.
They were on pace for it, and then for whatever reason, in the final 10 minutes of the game, they could not score the basketball. They got tight. They got uncomfortable. They couldn't make shots.
They couldn't get defensive rebounds.
Couldn't
get
defensive rebounds to save their life. And yeah, the over-the-back call on Cooper Flagg was ridiculous and horrible. All of that can be true while also saying Duke peed down their leg with a lead with 10 minutes to go in the game.
They had a chance to not let that foul call be significant.
Proctor could have, you go back and look, Proctor could have passed to Knipple instead of going to the line, and he didn't.
Yeah, he also had the one where he drove and just dribbled the ball off of his hip and turned it over underneath the hoop.
Like Proctor was really bad in that
game. He was horrendous in that game. Yeah. And it is funny because I went in kind of rooting for Duke. They were the most interesting storyline to me. Cooper Flagg's the most recognizable player. I don't particularly like watching Houston play basketball. But it did lead to a lot of people pointing the finger and laughing at Duke that's now 10 straight years without winning a game in the Final Four. And somebody had a graphic of all the players.
It's a long time for them.
Dude, think about all the guys they've had in the last 10 years. Like, that's Tatum. Like, that goes back a long ways of, like, you've had all these dudes with Coach K and Shire, and you've not been able to. Last time they were there, they lost to Caleb Love in North Carolina and Coach K's last year. So they've had some pretty heartbreaking losses, and they've been close. They haven't been able to break down that door in a long time.
Our boss is retiring. His last day is Friday. And he will tell you this directly. Like, I've been here since 2012. And in the interview, I remember telling him I was a Carolina guy. And he goes, well, I'm a Dukie. And I'm like, oh, no. This is not a good start.
Uh-oh.
But we've always kind of ribbed each other about it. And I've told him, I've said it on the air, like, this is the most likable Duke team for me. I liked the Zion one, but I more like just want to see Zion play.
He was so entertaining.
Didn't really care so much about the team. I liked this team and reading about this team. And I thought, man, our boss is retiring. He is going to get a Cinderella ending to his radio career. It's a lifetime radio guy. And there's going to be more on that this week because, man, working this long in this business is tough. But I was going to text him something like, how fitting? And then it collapsed. I'm like, I'm not.
Don't send that text. No, don't do it.
I'm not even going to rib it. I'm not saying anything.
Leave it alone, man.
Because I can only imagine thinking, man, this team is it. This is the special group. And to watch that collapse, it couldn't have been more delicious for every non-Duke fan in America. But what's funny is something you highlight, and we'll get back into this because I want to tip the cap coming up next. So we'll put a pause in it. I think watching it happen to Duke makes it feel delicious. However, the team that aesthetically, offensively is not fun to watch did it. So in a weird way,
I'm bummed.
You get to celebrate Duke losing and losing that way.
I'd much rather watch Duke play again tonight.
But a lot of America, I think if you polled them in all honesty, would say, I'd rather watch
Give me
Duke
Cooper
play basketball.
Exactly, in a title game.
Because you were expecting to
dine against Florida.
Dine on surf and turf tonight, and now you're getting like Salisbury steak in a TV dinner.
And I like Salisbury steak.
It's satisfying. It fills you up. It sticks with you.
That gravy is good.
It's a little disappointing on the plate.
It is so disappointing on the plate.
But Houston's really good defensively.
I know they are. I know. We've got to stop adding caveats. They suck to watch. It's okay to admit it. They might win the national championship tonight. It's not entertaining to watch. It's
not over here hating.
This is, I mean, it's just an ugly brand of basketball.
You're not getting roasted Brussels sprouts and, you know.
So you think this is a Salisbury steak dinner?
Is that what tonight's game is?
This is old-fashioned meat and potatoes right here. It's going to be, I thought the Florida-Auburn game was the more physical game, if that's possible.
That's a good game.
It was a great game.
Until the final 2 minutes,
the more physical
45
game.
Minutes.
I think tonight's game's going
to
be
massively physical. Let's go to another review.
And depending on how it's officiated, there could be foul trouble early in the game for somebody.
Yeah. It's funny because you mentioned the Duke stuff, and what used to sustain you through losses like this was the idea that in a bygone era of college basketball, how many guys on Duke's team would have been back next year?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And so you would have just said, man, that sucked, but we're young. Cooper Flagg's a freshman. Like,
you'd pick him to win it next
you'd
year.
You'd pick him to win it.
Easily.
This is the young team that they
no
came
doubter.
Close, darn it. You got to the Final Four, and you would have been back next year as the easy favorite. Yeah. And it just
college basketball is more like international play now.
Feel like you got one shot, and as a fan.
Yeah, who's
when
on
your
Duke's
team
next year? Because I don't know how many
it'll be good because they're going to have $10 million in NIL to spend, so they'll be loaded again.
They're going
to
restart it all.
But you got to restart the entire thing and restart the process.
They have 48 hours now since that game. So I think by the end of the day today to go into the transfer portal. So teams, because it already opened, but it extends 48 hours after your last game. If you to get in.
Yeah.
Well, but we have, what, 2,000 players at the D1 level now?
Pretty remarkable.
Half.
One of our listeners, Tyler, you mentioned this. He said, save this for Monday. So he tweeted this yesterday. Game between Florida and Auburn hit 2 minutes left at 5:24 p.m. Pacific. Game did not end until 5:44 Pacific time. Amen, brother. It's terrible.
Dude, it is so
bad. I hate it so much. Yeah. I'm like, stop.
It could be fun. It could be entertaining at times. But this kind of Houston offensively and this make this, it just, like, stick a fork in my eyeball, man.
Well, we'll get back to sticking a fork in your eyeball. We'll get to the Blazers at the top of the hour.
Yeah, they
fascinating
did that
little weekend.
Need a fork and a spoon for that.
No, I got no eyes left, man.
You got that crazy cousin at your table stabbing himself with a fork. Like, what is he doing? What's wrong with him?
I like the feeling of pain.
We'll talk to Carter Baines about the NCAA tournament. He's been covering it for 24/7. Coming up next, let's do a proper tip of the cap from the sports weekend. That's next on The Fan. We'll get to the Trailblazers weekend. We'll dive back into the NCAA tournament. Haven't talked to Houston, or not Houston, but Florida Auburn and their game, in which Walter Clayton beat Auburn. Amazing performance in the tournament so far. Like, all-time great stuff guard play-wise.
Yeah, literally.
From Walter Clayton Jr. He is, I'm not even certain there's even worthy of a conversation. Like, if they win, he's the most outstanding player.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
I saw our boy Eric Gunderson had a great tweet of like, I can't wait for NBA executives to overthink this one. Well, you know, is he fast enough? Does he jump high enough?
He's a good basketball player.
He's a good basketball player. Draft him.
I want to do a tip of the cap this morning. I really wanted to do this. There are two tip of the caps that I think are worthy of conversation.
Ooh.
The first would be Gino Auriemma winning his 12th national championship yesterday in blowout fashion. Yes.
Yeah, I turned that game on. That sucked. What the hell happened, South Carolina?
I gave bad advice Friday. I said, hey, watch the Final Four. It's going to be great. And it turned out to not be great. South Carolina ran away from Texas, and UConn absolutely obliterated UCLA.
What happened to UConn? Where do they come from? I mean, I know they've been great all year, but like to blow teams
out
by 30 in the Final Four?
Great. They reinvented themselves after the non-conference, and then they figured it all out.
I mean, that was pretty remarkable. That was like old school UConn. That's what they used to do to teams.
Well, the bummer of the tournament for the ladies was that Juju got hurt because the team that played UConn the toughest was USC, and that was without Juju.
Yeah.
If Juju's there, there's a really good chance. We're talking about USC being the national champion today, but that's not how it happened. UConn won. And Gino won his 12th. It's the most in the men or the women's. He is a standalone
12 titles.
12, coded coach.
Also 12-1 in national championship games.
His winning percentage is like 92-7.
It was their 24th Final Four appearance, and he's 12-1 in national championship games. Don Staley was the only one to get him.
That's nuts.
It's remarkable. It is absolutely remarkable.
It was a great ending to their season. Paige Beckers, she gets all the flowers, you know, 5 years, all that stuff.
She got her title. Now she can be one of the all-time UConn greats because she got a championship.
Now she's allowed in.
Before this, she wouldn't have been. We wouldn't even counted her. She didn't even exist, but now she can exist.
So I wanted to give Gino Auriemma, he's very emotional in the post game. He said this is his most satisfying title. I thought it was really good stuff. Just they hadn't won since 16. They'd been to some Final Fours. Hadn't won, so he starts naturally asking, is my time up? Can I do this anymore?
Rest of the sport caught up to him a little bit. Yeah. Not fully, but a little bit. And so,
And so he beats Don Staley and beats South Carolina. And the other tip of the cap, I did not see this live because I'm not aware that this sport is played that early.
The hell's the matter with you?
The wife and I went and got coffee yesterday, early Sunday. And as we're driving home, because we were there for a little bit, I had the fan on and the car is like, and Alexander Ovechkin's broken Wayne Gretzky's record. And I'm like, what?
We go to the 1930s on the weekend? That's kind of cool.
Wow. ESPN's got a kind of an old school radio guy.
Rockmeyer there.
Let's take it back to Ebbets Field.
But no, Ovechkin yesterday morning, there was an early hockey game, and he broke Gretzky's record.
He did. You don't get up and watch hockey at 9 a.m. on Sundays?
I do not. I have no idea
what's
happening.
What the hell is the matter with you? Actually, one of the things I love about hockey, because I'm an early morning person now in my life.
I'm not mad about it.
Yeah, I love the 12 Eastern puck drop. It's delightful. You wake up like, hey, look at that. There's live sports on. This is great at 9 o'clock in the morning. I think the NBA should do more of those games. I'd love them.
Well, the NBA had an early game yesterday, too. It was just happening during the women's championship.
At the same time.
It was the Laker-Thunder game.
So I was, you know, watching it happen, I also missed it live because I had it on. I was kind of walking around doing things. But with hockey, it's tough because you never know when it's going to take place. It's not like a home run record in baseball where you're like, okay, his at-bat's coming up. I'm going to be around the TV for the at-bat. For hockey, I mean, you've got to literally sit and watch the entire game because it could happen at the snap of a finger. So I had the game on. I knew it was that he was on the precipice of history, but I did not see it live. The celebration was awesome. Gretzky was there. Everything was cool. He asked the goalie for his stick, and the guy was he went along with the ruse a little bit because that's not a fun one to give up, and he'll be connected in the history books for a long time for giving up that goal.
Will he?
I think he will.
I can't name the pitcher gave up Bonds' home run.
He can't. I guess now that you mention it, I can't off the top of my
head.
And you're
a Giants fan. Yeah. And look at you coming in loud and proud today.
Well, I just think that's an interesting feeling as a goalie.
It's like, got to not be good.
You're a part of history, but you also don't want to be the one that gives up the goal.
Who did LeBron score his bucket against when he passed Kareem?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Like, I think we say these things, but I don't think we remember the moment, but I don't think we remember the names per se.
Yeah, the only bummer for me was it didn't happen at home. The tying goal at home, the reaction from the DC crowd where he's been the face of the franchise for two decades was so cool. And so, I mean, the place was packed. It was, you know, they were on the road at the Islanders in Long Island, but it just was, that was the only bummer for me. Would have been cool to see him do it at home, but an awesome goal to do it nonetheless. And what a remarkable achievement for something that we never thought was going to happen in the NHL.
I could do a whole thing of like, what is the next, I think we asked this about this when Ovechkin was getting close, of like, what is the next sports record? And I don't think we could come up with one. I think we had some listeners put some good ones in, but I'm forgetting what they were. Like, what's the next sports record that's just going to pop up and we go, hey, this is going to happen.
It's got to be one, though, where it's been long labeled something that is unbreakable.
Yes.
Because when Gretzky did this and ran away with it, the thought was, like, nobody's ever going to touch this. Yeah. Nobody will ever catch him. And here we are.
I don't think there is one.
I think the last one probably would have been Kareem. I think Kareem's point record in the NBA for a long time stood as, like, nobody's ever going to sniff that.
I think we talked.
And then LeBron stayed healthy for so long.
Passing yards, maybe, in the NFL. But I don't think that's one that.
That, to me, in the modern
game,
is gettable.
You get recognition, but people don't. I don't think people hold that record the way we hold a Gretzky record, a Kareem record, a hit streak record.
Nicklaus's majors record.
Yeah. That's a pretty good one.
I mean,
yeah, Brady has a 9,000-yard gap on number two for all-time passing yards.
Right.
He's at 89,000. Breeze is at 80. He is.
What's Mahomes at?
I
know he's not close, but like, I'm just curious.
He's not even in the top 20.
Is that even one that you care about? See, like, that's what I'm saying is NFL records that we care about.
I think if somebody topped Brady's, it would be a pretty big deal. You'd be like, oh, my God, somebody, because you're going to have to essentially get 90,000 passing yards in your career to top Brady.
I mean, you got to play into your 40s.
You got to play into your 40s, and you got to stay healthy essentially every year. I mean, he's at 89,000. There's only four guys all time who have gotten to 70,000, and he's at almost 90,000.
I saw a lot of, because he broke the record, are we sure Sidney Crosby's better? Saw a little bit of that on social media, and I was like, oh, they're doing that. They do that debate stuff in hockey, too. Huh? They embrace the debate.
Yes, they embrace the debate.
How about that?
Different players, different games.
I know you wanted it at home, final thought, but I did appreciate hearing that he could have had an empty netter.
He can't break it on an empty netter.
And he was like, nah, I'm getting this the real way and the real way only. And so, on the road, but still cool to have that moment nonetheless.
It would have been like somebody breaking the all-time home run record in a blowout game in which there was a position player pitching on the mound. Yeah. Like, you just can't. No, it's got to be legit.
Did you guys see this live?
I did not see it live.
I had it on, already but I left for the
But you saw the highlight?
Yeah. Saw the highlight, yeah.
Was it loud? Because, like, if you think about it, D.C.'s not that far away
from
home.
No, there were a ton of Caps fans that went up.
Okay, so, you know.
And I think hockey fans just reacted to, like, I just saw history, and so there was a lot of, like, OV. People were cheering for him. It was a well-embraced thing. They're having a hell of a year, man.
Yeah, and they're first in the East.
It's interesting whenever you get one of these that happens. I remember the Bond stuff when it went down. LeBron was this way, too, of, like, having a sporting event just stop. In the middle of a game. It's such an interesting thing of like, all right, let's roll out the. It's like, hey, there's like 12 minutes left in the second period, but everybody go sit around. Gretzky's coming out on the ice. We got to do a ceremony right now.
Tip of the cap to Gino Auriemma for his 12th national championship this weekend. Just absolutely bludgeoned South Carolina. And a tip of the cap to Ovi, Alexander Ovechkin, the all-time goal scorer. Not points.
That's another one that we'll say nobody will ever touch.
That's the untouchable
one. That's the untouchable one for Gretzky.
Loaded second hour. The Trailblazers with a fascinating weekend. We'll get to that. Carter Baines will join us for more NCAA tournament talk. We'll talk about Florida's win over Auburn. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.